this moment where I looked at the confidence monitor, and I think this, like, I thought the shot was slightly off kilter. And for a moment, I thought we were actually going to fall.
We were just going to just
slide off. Yeah, we were just going to slide off like the Titanic. Like, you and I were just the band playing out the death dirge.
Hey.
You know?
Go down with it. Go down with the ship.
Oh, my God. We do that every single day. But the ship just won't sink here, ladies and gentlemen, on The Morning Show. Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. Monday through Friday, we are here. Normally, I just have me and one of my other co-workers who are completely untalented. But today, we are joined by a very, very, very special guest. Mr. Scott Porter is here. Kev, you're supposed to do that.
I guarantee they're all more talented than I am.
I guarantee not. I looked up your IMDb just to familiarize myself with some of your work, your past work. It's too long. After the third scroll, I was like, I can't go anymore. Yeah. You were on Friday Night Lights. You were in Speed Racer, which I totally forgot about.
Yes.
Which I'm sure Tim is going to freak out about that.
10-year anniversary this year of Speed Racer.
You've done numerous VO gigs for both video games and for cartoons and for television, all that stuff. Do you ever stop?
Can't stop, won't stop.
That's how it goes.
It's not in my blood. It's not in my blood.
I love it. Of course, you're with us all day, so you're going to be on this show, Games Daily. Well, this show, unless anything goes terribly wrong. You'll be on Games Daily.
Yes.
And then you're going to be on GOG as well. So if you guys want to support us over on Patreon, you can see that live episode today at 3 o'clock, I believe. So patreon.com/kindoffunny, $1 above level. You can watch us record that live with Scott today with the pre and post show attached to that as well. And just having spoken with him, this is the first time we've ever really hung out.
Yeah.
I think you came on up at noon at one point.
Yes.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Yeah. But we didn't get a chance to actually catch up. You are a fascinating human being. Yeah. Very funny. Very charismatic.
Yeah.
I'm selling it to the audience.
I'm going
to
be here every single day.
There it is. So I guarantee it's going to be a good podcast, and we're going to get pretty serious on that one. But on this one, it's going to be pure shenanigans. So you get a little bit of both worlds. You were just saying you had your 23andMe thing they went through. And you have a sweet tooth.
Yes.
Well, I have a savory tooth, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we fit together like the yin and the yang. Mm-hmm. Joey Noel, what's going on?
Is that how you...
I don't know.
I was just going to take a picture to put on our Instagram.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Let's do it.
How do we look?
You want me to do a picture?
Yeah, let's pose. Why not? It's a live show, so people can wait.
I'm sure the audio listeners.
They don't care. Okay. All right.
Yeah, explain the portrait that we just took to audio listeners.
Ah, they're fine. I have a friend of mine who was like, I just started listening to your podcast, but he doesn't really know what I do. Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends just don't, they can't quite grasp what we do on a daily basis. They're like, oh, I know you do a podcast. I'm like, well, we do like 18 podcasts because that's all we're good at.
Yeah.
All we're good at is talking about ourselves.
Yeah, the show Alex Inc. was based off of this particular
office. Exactly. And he was like, yeah, I started listening to your podcast. And I was like, I really liked it. I liked the other day, especially when you talked about Aqua Teen Hunger Force for 35 minutes straight.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's what we do here. We're not going to do that today. There it is. All right, Kev. Before we get into the housekeeping, of course, today's episode of The Morning Show is brought to you by Hims and Loot Crate. We're going to get to those ad rates a little bit later as we get to the giveaway portion of the show. But before that, let's go into housekeeping.
Housekeeping, you want me to jerk you off?
What kind of hotel is this?
Top on housekeeping. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. They've gone 87,000 episodes of Gamescast without me. And finally, they were like, let's put Nick on Gamescast. But he's too pretty to actually put on camera. So I'm actually off right to the right, frame right of this. But if you guys want... What's that?
You're pointing the wrong way.
Am I pointing the wrong... that way. I'm that way.
Yeah, it is.
Over on the shock mic to give my hot take on Dead Cells. If you guys want to watch that, that's over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Are you really just pimping this out because you're talking on it?
I'm also pimping it out because there's a competition at the end of it that I may or may not have brutalized everyone at.
Understood.
It's like they were babies and I walked in not having seen any of this. Zero understanding of what happens in this, and may or may not have just little bottom.
Have just crushed it.
All right. All I'm asking for is fair time. I've never lost the game before. Have I ever gotten a pat on the back on this show? Have I ever gotten anything?
No. But did you lose that day?
Scott, it doesn't matter that part of it, all right? Like, I've had a spotless record.
Yeah.
Nick comes in one time, gets bopped on the head with a brick, doesn't know what he's saying, wins the game.
You know what I'm like? I'm like that speck of bird poop that you get, like, lands right on your car right after you've washed it. Your record's spotless. I'm the one little soiled mark
on it. You're the bird shit of my
life.
But
it's not spotless anymore. No. He's the almost undefeated New England Patriots that lost to the Giants.
It's really sad.
Pleasure meeting you, Scott.
Hey, no, thanks for having me up here, man. This is going to be awesome.
All right, next up on housekeeping, obviously, it's Spider-Man month, September 7th. You're in Spider-Man, right?
Yes, I am in Spider-Man.
My God, you're in everything. Well, to celebrate Scott being in Spider-Man and just Spider-Man in general, Shirtless Spider-Man has given us a press conference here. You can view that over on youtube.com/kindoffunny, I think, right? Or games. And he is pimping out the two fan mail tier perks for both of our Patreons this month. The first of which is this. Kev, bring this up. If you guys want a signed, printed out PS4 Shirtless Spider-Man game cover, well, we're going to give that to you. Yeah. That's over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. And yeah, to be fair, they made him a little too muscular, but whatever. I'm not going to.
Can I walk out of here with one of those today?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's one right in front of you.
I do need.
There you go, right here. Woo! Actually, we'll give you another one. You can probably sign this one. This will be the special version for the office.
This is amazing.
And then, of course, if you're backing us at the fan mail tier on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you get an art print of this. We're seeing it right there. This is a Panda Musk original. This is Spider-Man swinging while shirtless Spider-Man plummets to his chubby death. There, just his hairy. It's like when gum gets hair in it.
We're so dumb.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of.
Yep.
And you'll see it at some point today. He'll take his shirt off and you'll see.
Yeah.
And you'll just shake your head. As a man who clearly works out,
Is shirtless Spider-Man here today?
I don't know.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. He did. He got the.
The length of the. It's just.
It's beautiful.
There's so many.
What I like most about it, though, is that Panda really captured the upper shoulder hair that he's got.
Oh yeah.
He's got these tufts of hair that are on the wing,
right
on the shoulders.
Yeah, thanks,
and
Grandpa.
It's just so easy to shave off, and I don't understand why he won't make his wife do that. It's part of being married. You've been married for a while now.
Yeah, I've been married for 5 years.
You know, I've been married for I'm coming up on actually just past my 6th year. And when I first started, moved in with my wife, she had to get accustomed to some of my grooming habits, right? Mm-hmm. Namely, I'm an Italian man. I have a lot of body hair coverage, okay? I don't like it, but I can't get to it. I need help with it. And prior to this, she was like, I am not going to help you with this. This is disgusting. This takes all the romance out of the relationship. That was like 7 years ago when we moved in. Flash forward now, she de-louses me like I'm a fucking prisoner.
Jesus Christ.
It's Shawshank.
There you go.
And she digs it.
Look,
it's trippy.
It happens to me. The reason I said thanks, Grandpa, for is because I don't have hair in a lot of places. But the top
you
line of my back,
right there.
I just did the one line across. And my grandfather was one of the hairiest men around. He looked a lot like James Garner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you ever saw a James Garner shirtless, this guy, I'm really dating. Myself.
No,
one knows who James Garner is unless you watch The Notebook, and then he's like the old guy at the end.
I cried at the end of that
Spoiler
movie.
Spoiler alert.
I cried at the end of that fucking movie.
Yeah. So every time I look in the mirror, I'm just, thanks, Grandpa.
Yeah.
God damn. But she does, my wife will do the same thing. But the problem is when she does it, we're not in like the shower. Sometimes it's just, and where does the hair go? And then if you collect all the hair, like a lot of times we'll just throw it in the toilet.
But then
sometimes we'll forget to flush.
Yeah, it's gross.
And then occasionally we'll go to sit down on the toilet. We'll be like, yelling incoming. Sorry, guys.
Grow a beard.
You're just like, screaming. Because you're like, is there a muskrat in my fucking toilet? No.
Did a rat die in my toilet?
That's just what came off of the top of
everyone,
my shoulders.
You think you're living life as a single person out there? You have no idea what you're in for.
Yeah.
You have no idea the magic of what it means to be that so close to another human being that you can have those conversations of like, you missed the spot of hair on my back.
Yep.
Please go get that.
Yep. I apply the spray tan for my wife for her sometimes. It's not really a spray tan. There's a glove and you spray stuff on it, and then I have to wipe my wife all the way around. We have two kids, 3 and under. There's not a lot of sun. There's not a lot of sunbathing in our life.
Yeah.
Not a lot of laying by the pool reading. So we still need to look like we're not vampires. So yeah, I apply the spray tan for her. Mm-hmm. She does a little bit of manscaping for me. You know, we're good to go.
It's nice. That's how it works.
Yeah.
That's why you have someone else in your life, so they can get to those hard-to-reach places. All right, next up, Joey threw this on housekeeping. What is this? Kind of funny. Community meetup, RTX London 2018. That's Friday the 14th at the O2. It's on Millennium Way, North Greenwich. S-E-10-O-A-X. The address is in London. Gotta go. This is just too confusing to me. But if you, I guess if you're in the UK, this makes total sense to you. So I guess that works out. 7 p.m. outside the O2. Isn't the O2 an arena?
I have no idea.
Isn't that where the soccer gets played? American soccer? I like to piss him off. I know. I know you're a big sports guy, and you're just wanting to be like, just no, let me correct him right now.
No, I don't know if it is, actually. I've only seen one Premier League game ever.
Let's see.
I saw West Ham play once upon a time.
Looks like it.
Is it? Ooh. That's big, yeah.
Yeah, that's where they play table tennis.
Oh, that's that's that fun kind of quasi-activity that they play over in London. You know?
The ping pong.
The ping pong?
Stadium.
The big ping pong? God, they hate us.
No, why is there an indoor court in London? I thought it was all grass over there. Don't they play? That's where Wimbledon is played. What?
I guess.
That wasn't the
O2. No?
No.
Are you sure?
I want to know.
I'm absolutely not sure.
Arena.
I'm pretty sure you on the internet have the best.
I mean, that is the. Yeah, that looks like the O2 Arena.
All right, cool.
But I don't think that I was wrong. It doesn't look like they play soccer there. I
wonder if the
it looks like it's mostly just for.
You should let the Spitfire play in
it's
there.
It's a really cool looking arena from like the
from
maps.
Aerial. That is pretty amazing.
Let's see what the.
They have something called the Gaucho O2. Now, if that's a Mexican restaurant, I'm going to tell you one thing right now.
The O2 is a giant round tent. I'm hearing.
Oh, that makes sense.
There you go.
Look at that.
Cool looking. Yeah, there's bars.
It kind of looks like the tip of a fingernail. On that little peninsula.
It's a Quidditch stadium.
Oh,
I like
see what
that.
You're saying.
That's fun.
I see what you're saying.
Are you a big Harry Potter fan?
No, I just saw it in chat.
Not a Harry Potter fan?
The good old Quidditch.
Look, it looks like a thumb. Thumbs up, London. We're gonna meet you guys at the O2 Arena. That's where we're at right now.
Beautiful.
Okay. Just a quick tip reminder. Kev, play that tip graphic for people. Just
give
to wake
me
them up.
Your fucking money.
There you go. It's. All of the interstitial graphics that we use are completely inappropriate for this show. I probably should have told you that.
No.
Just in case your publicist is watching and going, get him off this show.
I lived in Austin, Texas for a while. We have the Alamo Draft House, Draft House. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever been to the Alamo Draft House, it's just random video after random video until you watch a proper movie. But I'm used to all this.
Good.
It really is thrilling me, actually.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. It just gets worse. it just gets
not
worse. I'm not. Of course, if you guys want to give us a tip and say something to Scott or ask him a question or ask me a question, we'll take tips at the $5 or above level for the length of the show. Remember, he is on Kinda Funny Games Daily as well. So if you ask him a question about games or any of his work in games, he may or may not answer that here because we don't talk about games on this show. Okay, we're a game-free zone with the exception of yesterday and every fan mail shout out that we've done on the show for the last 2 weeks. Let's see, right now, Digital Dumber gave us a 1,000 cheers and said, paying my birthday tax, thanks to the Kinda Funny crew for spreading laughter and positivity. Nick, can I get a happy birthday in the one? Well, happy birthday, Digital Dumber. Dunbar, not Dumbar.
Give it one more time.
Happy birthday, Dunbar.
There you go.
All right, let's see.
Did you mess with the side cameras? They're so yellow.
Bro, I don't fucking touch your stuff.
They're yellow.
I look really tan.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
You guys are not this tan. Oh, no, you're not that tan either.
Yeah.
You're pretty tan, though, actually.
Yeah. I went down to Palm Springs for my fantasy football, best friend's fantasy football draft,
mm-hmm.
and got just scorched.
Were you outside the entire time?
I mean...
Barbecuing,
so
drinking?
So the place that we rented mm-hmm. for the fantasy football, my best friend's fantasy football league, we go and we rent like a compound somewhere in this country. This year was Palm Springs.
I love that.
There
you
was
guys
a man-built lake, sand.
This
bottom
is this
lake.
Is all. Now, sorry. Let me dial this back a little bit.
Yeah.
This is all so that you and your friends can get together.
Yeah.
And pick real life people to be on your fake fantasy teams.
That's right.
Okay.
I mean, fantasy football is really an excuse for us to just
hang out. It's like tag.
Yeah. Stay movie. In touch. I mean, yeah. Listen, my friend's nickname for me is Max Effort. If we go play on the pickup basketball court. I'm the guy that's
hard.
Like swatting at everybody. And yeah, I played football in high school and college. I played at the University of Central Florida.
Shout out to Florida.
I can't reel it back in.
No.
It's just me. It's uber competitive. But so I do take it a little bit seriously. But yeah, it's grown from just 10 guys going to Vegas on a weekend to now like 20 people, you know, spouses included. We rent a house
that's
or a
awesome.
Compound. We all go down. Man-made lake with a canoe on it. There was a man-made river from an infinity pool somewhere in Palm Springs that overlooks this man-made lake. Had misters on the outside of the house. And then the interior of the house was crazy. There was like this huge games hall. And as a matter of fact, that's how we decided our draft order this year. We had a competition of bar games.
You had to compete?
Yeah, yeah.
To compete?
Yes, a competition of bar games.
Okay.
Beer pong, ping pong, darts, air hockey, foosball, shuffleboard. They had it all at this house. The one thing they didn't have is Papa Shot, which I am...
What is Papa Shot?
It's the basketball game where you sit there
and you just go boom, boom, boom,
yeah,
and you hit that hard.
I'm unbeatable.
You destroyed that?
I was in a Papa Shot league in college.
Okay.
A co-ed Papa Shot league. Me and another guy, two girls, and we ran the UCF district of Papa Shot leagues.
Naturally.
We won so many $25 bar tabs that you can't even keep count.
I'm conflicted on this because while the normal part of me says this might be an unhealthy obsession with competition, the champ in me, who just beat Greg on the podcast, says, hey man, good job.
That's why
champ
I respect you.
See? Champ to champ.
Respect.
Greg, we got a new champ to champ. Sorry. Sorry, Greg.
Yeah. Yeah,
I can hear him coming.
Yeah, but I think that's why I am so tan. I don't think you messed with the cameras. I think.
I have not been in the sun.
Just naturally this tan.
There's no way I'm this tan.
Yeah.
This looks like I put some sort of self tanner on my forehead, and it's not. I'm sorry.
No, it was me and you. I had the glove.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you. There it is. Can you just?
Here it comes.
Can you just stand there the rest of the show, please?
I can't. Bring it in. I heard you.
Let's just put that. Yeah, let's put it on there. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
This is what you want?
This is my belt, yeah.
I currently hold this. He's had this one for a while.
No, I won this. How did I win this, Greg? It's been so long.
Andy, remember?
Well, I was given it by our commissioner, Xavier Woods, who actually won it and then decided to vacate the title, and he gave it to me because he thought next natural. I'm not as good as him. I'll never be as good as him. But, you know, life goals. You got to have someone to chase.
Yeah,
you know, you can't race against yourself.
Yeah,
as they say.
Exactly.
It's the old adage I just made up right now.
You race down to your competition.
No, this is our actual official championship belt, which I've held for a very long time. And in fact, I think I'm the longest holding title holder of this. I've had it three times now. Greg's had it twice. No big deal. No, what I won on the games cast the other day was just bragging rights and respect.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that which is even better.
Yeah.
Because whenever I can rub, because Greg, don't let him tell you this. He's all lighthearted and doughy and fun, like a donut, right? On the outward. Inward, he fucking loves competition. He is a hardcore competitor, and he gets pissed when he loses. Oh, yeah. He tries to hide it, but I see it. And if there's one thing that you can't hide from me, it's your insecurities, because I will find that one insecurity, and I will drive a little bit of a nail into it, and that's fun for me.
So it's not really bragging rights, gloating rights.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Gloating rights.
Yeah, whatever, which one's more dickish?
Gloating.
Yeah, then it's gloating, right? Yeah, gloating. That's it right there.
For sure.
Let's just put that right there. Okay, is that going to stay? We'll just put it right there. Cool. One more cheer just came in from Mick Carsey. Gave us 400 cheers. And then Mr. CMH93 says, hello, just stopping by to pay my birthday tax. I'm in the middle of a 24-hour Shenmue B-Day stream. Thank you all for the free funny.
Shenmue.
You're doing a Shenmue birthday stream. You're living life the right way. All right. Let me make sure there's no other tips that came in. And there are not. All right, let's go into the news, Kevin. The news.
We're so dumb.
I know, we're idiots. This story comes from slashfilm.com. It says, It Chapter 2 will incorporate one of the book's craziest scenes. Now, I put this on here not knowing what scene it was going to be, and I thought it was going to be something crazy. Apparently, it's the ritual of Chud. Are you familiar at all with this, Kevin?
Yeah, they had that in the TV movie. Sorry, I don't know.
That in the TV movie, they didn't have it in the first part of the. Did you see the first It movie?
Yes.
So evidently, they're making two. I was averse to watching. I don't like scary movies.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like it. As a child, we'll talk about that later. We'll get into my psyche later. Finally, sat down and watched it with my wife. Loved it. Very excited. Thinking about actually going to read the book now. I'm starting to work my way through the Stephen King classics, and It's up next. Right now, I'm working on Salem's Lot. You didn't need to know any of this information about me. So I'm fascinated by how all of this is translating to the film series. Yeah. Evidently, the ritual of Chud was challenging because it's such an important component to the book that we had to address it. That stuff is difficult to balance, but because the director and he worked with, who is this talking? Oh, this is Gary Dunbar. Who was writing the second book. This comes from Cinema Blend. It says, The Ritual of Chud is a bizarre battle between the losers and the interdimensional embodiment of evil. It's actually going to make its way into the big screen. Seems like it has to, right, Kev?
Yeah, they all hold hands and, like, believe in themselves. It's pretty much what they do. And that's enough to, like, it, like, is attacking them while they do, like, just walking up behind them and being, like, trying to scare them and weaken their, like, bond. That's it.
Cool.
I believe. I think.
How is that hard to shoot, then?
I don't know.
Just holding hands?
I don't know.
And, like,
if someone's
I mean,
a book
it's gonna
reader,
get transdimensional.
Go ahead and let us know if I got that wrong, you nerd.
No, it's fine. We'll just go with that. You know what? This is a non-story. Let's go on to the next one.
I auditioned for it, too.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. But it was one of those things where, like, the fans have already cast it, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're all the fans are like, who do we want to see be the kids grown up?
Yeah.
And it's...
And
it's
like,
playing
Professor
out.
X, we want Professor
it's actually
X.
Playing out like almost exactly like the fans were hoping it would. I think Bill Hader's involved, mm-hmm. right? And I think, you know, some other guys.
Yeah, it's Bill Hader. McAvoy, I think, is playing one of them. Jessica Chastain is playing. Again, it's not that
this
I don't think.
This movie made so much money.
Yeah.
Why did you bring me in to audition for it?
No, because like, you're super
just
talented.
Going to off. No, no, but it's just like, it was one of those things where you get it comes across the desk and you're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, let me read the, because they don't, like, no one gives any part of a script anymore.
Sure.
So the audition scene.
Do you just get sides, or what do
just,
you get?
Yeah, you get some sides that aren't even sides from the script. You get some sides that are like some fake scene that's never going to be shot
really?
Anywhere. Oh yeah.
Fascinating.
And then you go in and do some fake scene that like you have you don't know what character you're auditioning for. You don't even tell you which character I auditioned
for. So you have
for.
It's so very difficult like, to prepare for this.
Yeah, you're just like going in, and I was like, I was pretty sure I was going in for the kid who's like a little. Portly young, and then he like becomes
gets
like a
jacked.
Tech. Yeah, he becomes like a tech whiz or whatever, and he you know shows up back in a suit, and he's mm-hmm. like the most successful one of all. But I think that might be Hader. They might be going for like a Ryan Reynolds
no,
for
I,
that.
I think
it's
yeah. I was gonna say I think Hader got
McAvoy,
the one with the kid that was like, the you know, kid that was like over sexualized and like always making jokes. I think it's Hader. The
little over sexualized.
Well, remember the kid that was like always talking shit to everyone.
That fits for Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think like the fans for this guy were like. Like, let's get Ryan Reynolds in here, like Jeremy Renner in here, like one of
just
these guys. Who knows? But I mean, the names on the list are just like the biggest
sure.
names in the world. So yeah, whatever. It too. Good. Best of luck to you. It too. You're gonna need it.
Kevin, bring up the IMDb page for It too. I want to see who they have cast for all these characters right now. Not to rub it in at all.
It's fine.
Do you take auditions a lot? Do you find that sometimes you do it for
it's
more?
All fine.
And like a networking thing?
Also, Nick, just for all the people that are asking, there is construction happening outside. That's what that annoying rattle is.
Yeah, do you want to shut the windows? It might get a bit hot in here, but we can probably
I feel like...
bring that okay. up. All right, you know what? Don't bring this up. We don't need that. We don't
no,
need
it's fine.
Here.
It's fine.
I'm just fascinated to see
fine.
What's
that.
I mean,
it's all fine.
Chastain, James McAvoy.
It's all fine, yeah.
Bill Hader is playing Richie, the Richie character.
Hey, James Ransone, though. That's... He's a good actor, James Ransone. I've worked with him before. He's not like super, super crazy well known. That's good.
There you go.
He's playing Eddie. Do your thing, man. Good stuff. Good stuff.
There you go. All right. I have no idea why I brought this page up. I totally forgot. All of the jackhammering has made its way right into my skull. But the coffee's kicking in. Bring out this next story, Kev. I love this. This isn't a story so much as it was a fun little quote. Eli Roth, who is directing his first PG-rated movie with the house with the clock in the walls, which I'm very excited about, actually. Kind of looks Harry Potter-esque.
Eli Roth. That's
didn't know it was him either.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool. Got a piece of advice when going to make this movie, and they're making it with Amblin Entertainment, which is Steven Spielberg's company. And apparently Steven Spielberg gave him a piece of advice when he was making it. He told him to make it scary. Kids want to be scared. You got to make it scary. Now, I respect this, because mm-hmm. as a child of the 80s, they didn't care how scary these movies were for children. Nobody knew about psychology back then. Nobody thought, hey, maybe we shouldn't market RoboCop as a kid's movie, you know? And that might have just been me going in blind, not knowing what RoboCop was and lying to my mom. But like, I think back to our childhood, you're about my age. I think back to The Dark Crystal. I think mm-hmm. back to The Labyrinth. Mm-hmm. You brought up Legend, which terrified me when I was a child.
Yeah, it was pretty much the only movie that like, you know, it's not that kids aren't as tough nowadays. It's mm-hmm. not that they can't take it. It's just we choose to give them less to deal with. But, like, none of those movies... I watched The Dark Crystal repeatedly when I was young.
It's terrifying.
Never, you know, Never Ending Story has some...
Horrible stuff in it. The horse drowning in
stupid
mud.
Stupid horse!
That was a terrifying
attacks! But it's just like, you know, I could handle a lot of it. I think we think our kids can handle less than they actually can now. Wow. But I do think that we might have watched maybe one too many things. When I was 8 years old,
yeah,
and my aunt lived by the creed of, if you think you're grown up enough to watch it, then yeah, sure, watch Children of the Watch Children
you're
of
like,
the Corn.
I don't know that I'm qualified to make that decision yeah. right now, aunt.
Children of the Corn was a little rough. But
that's harsh. Yeah.
But the only film like that gave me a hard time was Legend. And it wasn't Tim Curry's character in Legend that gave me a hard time. It was actually the snow, everything getting iced over.
Mm.
I woke up that night, I remember it so vividly, and I kept on wiping my eyes. It looked like it was snowing in my house. That's
really?
What I felt like. Yeah, it's one of the only times in my childhood, I think I was six maybe five or six. And you know, again, I watched Legend.
Yeah.
But then I'd go crawling into my folks' bed because I really thought it was snowing. I thought everything was icing over,
mm-hmm.
and danger was coming. So that was the only thing.
I was also traumatized by Legend, but mostly it was their choice of costume for Tom Cruise in that movie, where he was just wearing a shirt the entire time. Do you remember that?
Yeah, just this blousey.
Yeah, the chainmail blousey thing, yeah. And they were like, "Don't put pants on him. We don't need to put pants on."
And
him.
That bothered you?
It bothered me because he was rolling around, and I was thinking to myself, "He's gonna get." Like scrapes all over his legs. I don't like this. Who would go into battle without pants? It doesn't make any sense. But then they put Mia Sara on the and I had a huge crush on Mia Sara because she was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. She, mm-hmm. she played Sloane.
Of course.
In Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Bring her to Legend. I'm like, we need more of her. Why are we not? What's going on?
Yeah.
Why is she not in this movie more? And then Tim Curry comes in. I'm like, that's the guy from Clue. I don't understand what's going on here. As a child.
So wait, so you knew how old were you when you watched Legend?
Christ, I don't know. Kevin, type in Legend movie.
I think it's 86.
Yeah, when was
86?
This made?
85.
I was
okay,
five years old when this happened.
I was six. So at 5 years old, you knew that guy with the giant horns and all of the red makeup. You knew that was the guy from Clue?
Absolutely not. Probably
this
because
is not
Clue,
true.
I don't even think Clue came out. I think Clue came after this.
These are not true facts.
But it's a possibility.
But you were worried about Tom Cruise getting skinned knees.
Look up Clue. When did Clue come out?
87.
Are you sure about this?
I don't know.
You
I'm
just
guessing.
Made that up.
Damn it.
Why did you type it with a three?
I'm guessing.
Fat fingers, Nick. 90.
This is 85. Okay, so
Clue had come out.
Here's the deal. I didn't see Legend in theaters. I saw Clue in theaters. So Legend, it's possible that I saw Legend a couple years later on VHS.
Yes.
Okay.
And
to make this narrative make sense in my brain, I've just retconned my entire story.
Gotcha.
Do you understand how that works?
Gotcha.
No, Legend was what, but that's my thing is like, yeah, as a person who has no children, you have two children, obviously, you're a father now. So you have to strike that balance between, obviously, like sheltering them from the perils of the world, but then also introducing some of these things in. And I like this idea because I think that we dumb down these movies so much, even for the general public, even PG-13 movies get dumbed down so much they don't want to show you, they don't want to scare you, they don't want you to have that emotional connection, but that's where the importance of the art is. And for a kid, you need to be a little scared. You need to understand that there are some scary things mm-hmm. in the world and then see the characters fight through that adversity and overcome those challenges and come through on the other end better and grown up people. So I like this. I like that they're like, let's make it a little twisted.
I mean,
let's scare them a little bit.
It's tough. So my kids, my oldest, my boy, his name is McCoy. He's 3 years old.
A dope name.
McCoy and
McCoy
Clover.
McCoy Porter?
Yeah, McCoy. McCoy Lee Porter and Clover Ash Porter. Those are the kids' names. But
you did those kids a service.
Clover's only one.
Mm-hmm.
She has two words, mama and Baal.
Yeah.
Like, that's all she can say.
Most
but
important
McCoy,
words.
McCoy gives back. He can speak. And as soon as he started understanding everything, his imagination started running wild. He's only three, but I want him to watch everything I love.
Mm-hmm.
That's the toughest part of being
like,
a dad.
We're going to watch.
I'm like, I want to introduce you to
The Hunt for Red October
everything.
Right now. And you're like, I don't know about
but
that.
Then you're like, well, let's just start with some Disney movies
sure.
where every parent dies. And you're like, well, this isn't going to work. And then you're like, okay, well, you know, let's watch Aladdin. Aladdin's safe.
Mm-hmm.
The genie, that's funny. It's got a little monkey. It's got, you know, flying carpet. Friendly tiger, whole thing. No, Jafar turns into this
giant
snake
cobra.
At the end.
Yeah.
And then you're watching your 2.5-year-old go.
Yeah, that's
and
terrifying.
Start like shaking. You know, it's, but I'm glad I showed him.
Yeah.
But now when I read the book, he'll be like, hey dad, don't do the Jafar voice. Cause okay. I'll do the voices, all the different voices
that's
when
awesome.
I'm reading to my little boy. And sometimes he'll be like, don't do the bad guy voice. Please,
just
right before bed.
Yeah.
But that's because McCoy now knows that he doesn't want to lay in bed when he's trying to go to sleep, thinking of the bad guy voice.
Terrified.
So look, he's learning lessons.
Yeah.
So let's just show the kids all this
I'll
shit.
I'll tell you, there's nothing better than just deep-seated fears that you put in right at the beginning. You see what I'm saying? Right. Like, put it, you just sneak them in right at the beginning and make sure that maybe 20 years later that all comes out in therapy.
And there's something to be said for making sure that they know that the 80-foot snake is not something to fuck with, right? Yeah. Because there's a show, Peppa Pig. My son loves Peppa Pig to the point that it's this British pig show, right? And to the point that, like, he had a slight British accent. My sister-in-law got married in front of a water fountain, and he was pointing from the crowd. He was the ring bearer, and then he was sitting in the audience watching the wedding, and he's just going, "Water fountain! Water fountain!" What? He's only like two, and he's only got like, you know, like 80 words, and somehow water and fountain in a British accent are one of them.
Perfect.
But on that show, they have a spider, and they call him Mr. Spindly Legs or some shit like that. And they make him like this, like super friendly, oh, tinkle, 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 like this super funny, like friend of the family. And I've got black widows in my fucking backyard. Yeah. And I'm so like, hey, like, I'm by the way, dude. Yeah. And they banned it in Australia because they're like, any episodes with a spider in it, you can't show that in Australia because you're teaching our kids that, like, yeah, let's go hang out with the spider.
Yeah.
No. So, yeah. It's good for them to see like some of the dangerous things in the world and learn some lessons early.
If there are any children watching this show, just understand that spiders are nature's monsters. Okay? Yes. They're fucking monsters.
Yes. Monsters.
And if you see one, crush it or have someone bigger than you crush it.
Yeah.
Because they're abominations and they have to be stopped.
I've got a turf war in my backyard between black widows and have you heard of the brown widows? Do you know
those? No.
Guys? So there's brown widows now. And the brown widows and the black widows are now, like, they're at each other. It's like killer bees and regular bees, I think, is from what I've heard.
That's
terrifying. They both have the hourglass, the red hourglass belly and everything. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
oh,
see?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't like any of this.
Kill them all. That's what I say.
I'm not going to show this.
I know there's a bunch of people that, by the way, if you're watching this on YouTube, I know you're going to put a comment that spiders are great. They help kill all the other insects. You know, yeah, I know. I appreciate it. I'd rather have 13 flies in my apartment than that fucking thing.
Yeah, and but they don't, they hate the black widows. The brown widows and the black, they
now,
hate each other.
Are the brown widows, like, still poisonous?
Oh, yeah. They're just as bad. Yeah, it's not cool.
Oh my goodness. That is terrifying.
Yeah.
Kevin, before we move on, can we reopen that window? The jackhammer has stopped. It's getting hot in here.
I'm a very sweaty person, so
I'm starting to sweat too. I normally don't sweat that much, but we're getting a little.
We're just gonna see how bad of a decision to wear a light gray t-shirt.
You're fine. We've got more t-shirts in the office. Can you open it so we get a little air flowing?
Just
a
little scooter.
That's fine.
That's better flow of air.
That works too. No, spiders, I can't even imagine. I live in an apartment complex, so we don't deal with a lot of spiders. We have the occasional raccoon come.
Oh yeah.
And man, they are bold.
Oh,
they
yeah.
do not give a shit.
Oh, yeah, they want to box you.
One raccoon who is the fattest raccoon I've ever seen. And I'm not trying to body shame raccoons here. But normally you think of a raccoon as, like, mostly fur, but, like, if you shaved it down, it would be tiny.
Yeah.
You know? No. This thing, every night, is feasting on our garbage. And I
How
swear,
much food are you throwing away?
Well, I live in an apartment complex.
Oh,
that has
that's
like 12
right. Okay.
units.
All right, yeah, yeah.
So
gotcha,
we have... It's always overflowing because the people that live in San Francisco in general have their heads up their asses and they're all selfish, myself included. But you put them all together and people look and they go, wow, that garbage is clearly overflowing. Maybe I should change out the pail. And they go, I'm too bougie for that. And they just throw it down there.
Yeah.
So inevitably, one of the bags is there. There's a raccoon that knows that's where dinner time is.
Oh, yeah.
And he funnels in and finds whatever half-eaten chicken is there and sits on my steps that lead up to my apartment in the back and just eats them. And I try to get this little fucker to move. And he barely stops. He'll look at me. You know, he gives you the look.
Yeah.
And then just shakes his head. And that means I have to go around to the front and go in because he's not moving today. Like, he's just little fat little legs just sitting on the stairs with his butt just rubbing the stair. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, and down in LA, you've got hills everywhere. And there's always, like, behind most of the houses, there's slope behind the house, and you can't do anything with the slope, and that's just where all of wildlife in Los Angeles decides to live. So we've got coyotes, we've got raccoons, we've got all the spiders, but we had this family of raccoons, and there are some days if the lid is ajar on my trash can, they'll flip that thing open, and then they'll just kind of stand there, and if you want to come and throw something away, they'll turn to you, and he literally puts his hands
comes up like
wants the box.
That's amazing.
And he's just like, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
Well,
here,
you have to step up and you have to pump that little fucker across your yawn. Just kick him really hard. Just let the rest of them know that you'll break a rib.
Listen to me. I'm gonna go get a couple of oven mitts and I'm gonna come back here and I'm gonna fuck you up.
I'm getting on my knees just to even it out. Just and gonna we'll fuck each other up. We're going.
I'm just gonna try to not get rabies in this particular encounter, but yeah.
Oh man. Nah. Oh man. All right, Kev. This show's already gone off the rails, but why not? Let's bring up this next news story.
Oh, well, now we get serious.
Now let's get serious. This is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. Are you supposed to poop every day? Is the question that's posed by this tonic.vice.com article, which I saw under my Vice app, but I guess Tonic is something completely... doesn't matter. They've asked 5 experts whether or not you're supposed to poop every day. Now, I'm of the mind that one should poop every day, because if not... you are missing out on one of life's best things.
Don't you poop multiple times a day?
I don't. I usually just do once.
What?
And once? One to one and a half times.
Before the morning show.
I don't count the one that, like, if I eat too much at night, I don't count the one that comes out in the morning as a full.
Is it bad if you poo, like, 3 times a day?
That's a great question, Kevin. Thank you for asking that question.
Okay.
According to experts, they ask 5 experts if you have to poop every day, and 5... out of 5 experts said no. Now, here are the details. They went through, but I'll just read this first paragraph because I think it sums it up. This comes from Christopher Hare, which is just an unfortunate last name if you're a gastrointestinologist, whatever the hell this guy is. But the human body is complex, he says, which helps to explain why many, quote, normal functions differ between people, including sleep, urination, and defecation. What is perceived as normal for many is out of normal for others. Pooping is one such example of this range. What is normal is well-defined yet broad. In many studies into normal healthy defecation, normal pooping ranges from 3 times per day to 3 times per week, Kevin.
Wow.
Less than 40% of healthy people poop once a day.
This is too wide of a... this is too wide of a possibility of outcomes.
I have a friend that only goes.
These are
once
doctors,
a week.
Right?
These are doctors,
and this is the best they can come up with.
Gastroenterologist, which I think is a doctor of poop. I would just put poop doctor
on
my badge.
Large intestines.
Well,
colon maybe.
So healthy. So poop the doctor. Healthy range of shits you take in a week.
Yeah.
Could be 3
mm-hmm.
or 21.
21.
That's too much.
Too much?
Too much of a swing.
I think if you're only pooping, here's my thing. I'm a once a day or sometimes twice a day, depending on if, you know, daddy had a cheat meal the night before.
Wait, Nick, is your once a day right before the morning show?
Yes.
Wait.
Literally, it's
why?
In the 11, because that's, I mean, what do you mean why? I don't schedule it. I don't put a Google Calendar invite like, I would like to poop at 10:55 before we go live. That's when the coffee kicks in, brother.
Damn it, that sucks.
That's when it kicks
I
in, buddy.
It. You're by your, at that point, you're at your third
most
coffee.
Of the time, I wait until afterward, but sometimes it sneaks
you
in,
don't.
Man. Sometimes it sneaks in. I got to put a little dollop of cream on the cake, if you know what I mean.
I don't, that's disgusting. What does that mean?
All I'm saying is this. If you don't go once a day, you're an abomination and you should... no. You got to change this. Drink coffee. Go once a day.
No, eat greens. Have roughage.
That's too healthy. You're all healthy.
Come
shit.
On.
Stop bringing in this healthy mentality into my house. Drink coffee. Starve yourself. That's what happened. No, I'm joking about that. I don't know. This is weird to me. This blows my mind. This is one of those things people don't talk about. And you just think to yourself, are there people out there that only get to go? Because I love it. It's like my favorite thing every day. I look forward to it.
I just know that, like, I don't know when I'm going to have to shit. I just know it's going to be a really inconvenient time.
You know, so you don't have, well, you have kids, so everything's inconvenient.
There's,
for you.
So yeah, so I feel like I'm in school again now. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm not working and I'm at home with the kids and my wife, I feel like I'm in class again. Like, we have to raise our hand and be like, can I go to the bathroom? You know, because you don't want to leave the other one with, like, you know, both kids with just without saying anything.
Right. You can't
just
ghost.
Gone are the days that I just, like, you know, disappear into the bathroom for 45
like,
minutes,
right
read
back.
A graphic novel, and like, it's my quiet time. I did that as a kid. As my family, we lived in some very small place. We lived in a basement all together in one main room of a basement. We had mm-hmm. one bathroom. And it was just like, that was my only time. I would go in there and read Dragonlance, or I'd go in there and like read Chronicles of Narnia.
Okay.
My mom would start knocking on the door and be like, hey, you're not pooping for 40 minutes.
And like, you don't
and
know me.
I wanted to convince her, so I taught myself how to fart on command.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, yeah. You can do it. You can like pull. You can pull air in and then like just right back out.
Do you just?
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
it a muscular thing, or you can contracting a muscle?
Just watch Howard Stern. Like sometime, like he okay. always has the like fart on command guys on there.
Wow.
It's like a pretty regular thing. I'm sure people in chat. I'm sure there's a couple people that can that have figured it out.
Let's see. We've put that out there. If you've done that, chat, let us know.
Yeah.
Let us know the exact mechanics
then it would be
of
like,
how that works.
Knock on the door. And you'd be, you're still not pooping, Scott. I'd be like. Did you hear that, Mom? Of course I am. Like, that was the only way that I could get out of getting flushed from the from the bathroom.
My mom stopped asking after a while because she just kind of assumed I was furiously masturbating all the time.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well.
Oh my God.
My mom was. We had a very. Sometimes, sure. Sometimes,
like my friend
sure.
James's spider monkey. My friend James had a spider monkey. They had to put a diaper on the damn thing.
Because it just kept squirting.
Well, yeah, it would just want to whack off everywhere.
Yeah.
And then, like, you would, James would come out of his bathroom, and James would be like, shit, and you see the diaper on the floor, and he'd be like, where is it?
He?
And, like, run into the kitchen, and he's, like, got one hand on the coffee maker, and he's just like, ah. It's just like, on the kitchen counter. He's like, get back in your fucking diaper before mom comes home, because he was a teenager at the time.
Oh, my God.
His mom was like, if I catch that monkey masturbating in my house one more time, it's out of here. So, like, James would be freaking out. Well, yeah, you gotta put your diaper back on, buddy, or she's gonna get rid of you.
This is all, I'll tell you one thing right now, Scott. This is all hitting way too close to home for my comfort. Let's just put it that way. Although sometimes, Kevin, I like to think of you as the office spider monkey. Is that healthy?
No.
Not because you jack off all of those, because you're always climbing on things.
Oh, man.
And you're always just getting into snacks.
I need to get to places.
Snacks. Oh, that's
Kevin's
what
Kevin's a big
do.
Snacker.
The monkey that's would love to do that, too. He would eat and whack off at the same time.
Oh, man, that's the best. That is the best. Are you kidding me? Why not?
That's how you
learn. Why bother finishing dinner before you watch porn, ladies and gentlemen? Just have the bowl in one hand.
You know, every time we go out to dinner, you just eat with your left hand. I wonder why. And now,
you know, it's like certain cultures where you're only allowed to shake with one hand because you wipe with the other hand.
That's
the way it goes.
Whew.
This is the kind of hard-hitting news we like to go
over. By the way,
on this
nobody's
show,
poop ever looks like that.
No.
Unless you're a tiny, tiny dog.
That is.
And at that case, like a show dog.
We went over a story a couple weeks ago where San Francisco now has a poop patrol because we have so much human feces on the sidewalk.
Human feces on the sidewalk.
Yeah, we have a lot of homeless people here. We have a huge homeless problem here. Mm-hmm. All kidding aside. And they don't have places to go to the bathroom,
right,
nor so do they give a shit. So they're like, well, you guys aren't going to let me. Like, store owners won't let them in to use the bathroom because, you know.
Right, so they just.
Yeah, so they go, I'm just going to poop right on the sidewalk.
Take a dump in front
so
of them.
So now we have a patrol where you call and they take a little steam cleaner out and they pick up the poop. I don't know why I brought that up. That's why.
It's
because
like
I can attest that most poop does not look like that.
No, most poop does not look like that.
I've seen a lot of different types of human poop.
I have a 10-pound Shih Tzu, and she occasionally will leave one that stands straight up.
Yeah, like a frozen yogurt?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's why I said, like a very tiny, possible show dog shit right there.
I wonder at what point people stop listening to us and tuned out of this podcast.
No, I just see a lot of best show of the week, greatest show of the week.
Okay, yeah.
Best show.
I'm not seeing those. You know. I'm seeing, seriously, stop talking about pooping. I threw up in my mouth. Stop talking about pooping.
We're done.
Joey Noel says like 2 minutes ago people stopped. Thanks, Joey. Thanks for coming in on that.
Yeah.
All right, we got a few more minutes left. I do want to just talk to you generally about what's going on in your life, what you're working on, the shirt you're wearing, all that jazz.
Is that the big topic?
That's the big topic, Kevin. You just casually dropped that you're in Spider-Man, which is a game that everyone's talking about right
now.
Yeah. I started playing it over the weekend. It's phenomenal. What is your role in that?
I play Harry Osborn.
That's awesome.
In Spider-Man PS4. Be greater.
Are you excited that people love this game?
I knew people were going to love this game.
Yeah.
It's just, Insomniac has already shown us, like, over time, their ability to create and build worlds, incredible characters. Sunset Overdrive is highly, highly underrated. Mm-hmm. And the thing that got me most excited about Insomniac doing Spider-Man was the traversal mechanics actually from Sunset Overdrive. Like, just as a gamer going, wow, they've already got, you know, they've got so much experience doing
they got a strong base
city
going
traversal,
into this.
All this really cool ways to get your characters all over the place, you know, and on top of that, it's just Spider-Man's one of the coolest characters around. So I knew this game was going to be great, and I only went in for a couple of sessions to do Harry Osborn. But
so how's that work? They go, hey, we're kind of, because you do a lot of VO for games. Is it similar experiences the entire time where you're just like, I'm with the director. You're in the VO booth for what? How many days, depending on the role? Like maybe 1 to 2 days. Like how long are you putting in on these?
Yeah, I did 3 sessions. Okay. I'm basically a mission giver in Spider-Man.
Okay.
Harry Osborn. You know, no spoilers. It's too soon. But You know, they talk about Harry a lot in the game, and he's away for one reason or another.
Sure.
So you primarily communicate with him through like voicemail. So
okay.
Didn't have to do full performance capture or anything for this particular game. When you do like full performance capture, it's, you know, it can be.
That's where you wear the suit with the balls on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You look like a reject from Cats.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I've always wanted to just wear one of the suits. I don't want to do the work because it feels like you're gonna get sweaty. It's a lot of physical exertion. But I just want to wear one of the suits out and tell people that I was motion capturing.
Dude, so
for
once
a role
so
I was working on.
So I was shooting
Cats.
Down in Los Angeles. We don't have Chick-fil-A in very many places. I think we have like 3 Chick-fil-A.
Wait, let's pump the brakes here.
What?
Where do you come down on Chick-fil-A?
What do you mean where? It's fucking delicious.
We can't be friends. I can't. It's too drunk.
It sucks.
Here's the thing. There are three ongoing just battles in this office.
Okay.
One is
In-N-Out's not the best burger. Chick-fil-A is fucking delicious.
Okay.
That's very controversial.
Is Chick-fil-A delicious? That is one. Okay.
Okay.
One is, of course, the ongoing debate of whether or not pineapple belongs on pizza.
It does not.
I believe it does. I like the sweet and savory taste.
You're sick.
And Kevin, you're just a narrow-minded monster.
You need help.
And then, of course, the battle that I alone am waging against the rest of the world. I don't like The Departed. It's not my favorite Scorsese movie.
So The Departed,
I just
the,
don't
like the
it.
Final scene when like Wahlberg, but and they're like doing the pan, they're like the full pull away from the elevator. You can see camera track on the left hand side.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm like,
that makes me dislike it even more.
I don't want to add fuel to your fire. Departed's good. It's not his best.
So that's my thing. But it's an entertaining movie, but people are like, it's a great movie. I'm like, it's not
to quote
a
season
movie.
Sorry from what was that Seth Rogen Mall Cop movie?
Oh, Jesus.
They think I'm going to bomb Chick-fil-A. Why the fuck would I bomb Chick-fil-A? It's fucking delicious.
Okay.
It's all right. Chick-fil-A is amazing. Anyway, but look.
Are you bummed when you want, like, I want Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday?
I went to
you get all pissed off?
No. I respect
Monday,
it.
Monday, whenever the hell Mormons take off.
I respect it. Every time you order there, you say thank you, and they say my pleasure. I mean, it's like everyone's so kind at Chick-fil-A. Everyone is so incredibly kind.
Here's another important question. It's not dry.
You've gone to the wrong Chick-fil-A. No one has ever accused Chick-fil-A's chicken of being dry.
It's dry.
You're insane.
It might as well be the Sahara Desert. The Sahara Desert.
Where did you go to this Chick-fil-A?
I've been to multiple Chick-fil-A's, mostly in Atlanta, Georgia. We did a conference there, and there was a Chick-fil-A across the street. We ate there like 5 times, and I'm like, I can't deal with this Chick-fil-A.
Why are you
anymore.
Eating a Chick-fil-A if you're in Atlanta? Go get some.
These men do not speak for Kind of Funny. Chick-fil-A is great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Craig.
It's too dry.
You're too dry, Kevin.
Kevin, I often have complained that Kevin is too dry.
I got one I'd like to bring. Shake Shack is better than In-N-Out. That's my.
Oh, I'll stand by that.
Sure, Shake Shack's amazing. Yeah.
But I burned out on
These are my people. Chick-fil-A situation.
We got what I call a knucklehead idiot on the other side of the wall named Andy Cortez. He thinks Whataburger better than In-N-Out.
No, that Whataburger is terrible.
Whataburger.
Good commercials. Good commercials. Yeah,
great commercials.
There's Whataburger, there's Five Guys, there's all those. Those are run-of-the-mill. Shake Shack elevated the game.
100%.
The first time I went to Shake Shack, now here's the deal. I'm a Southern California boy. I grew up going to In-N-Out. I burned out on In-N-Out a long time ago. When I first started doing Atkins, I did animal-style burgers. Love them. In-N-Out has special taste. Shake Shack, legit.
Yo, for real, it's the bun. But also, In-N-Out freaks me out a little bit because the tomato always perfectly fits the meat patty. And I'm like, how much of this tomato did you use? First of all, like, do you...
The genetic testing.
Are they, like, grown,
they just make
like...
Square
do they
tomatoes.
Have, like, a cylindrical shape to them? Do they look like... Are they grown, like a can?
That's amazing.
And they just, like, cranberry
it's
sauce?
Like cranberry sauce.
And they all just, like, specifically...
So
anyway, yeah. No, I will take a lot of burgers over In-N-Out. This Chick-fil-A thing is blowing my mind.
It's okay. Look, listen.
I don't even know where I was... I brought it up,
it
and
doesn't.
Now we just completely
I don't know
and totally... yeah. Oh, I was wearing the suit.
Okay.
And I was shooting, it's when we were shooting Madden. And Madden, okay. I'm one of the characters in the story mode in Madden.
Cool.
And we shot for about 6 weeks.
Okay,
and there was
that
a Chick-fil-A.
Long,
yeah, and we had craft services, we had lunch, and lunch was good.
Yeah.
Lunch was, you know, pretty good. But there's just some days I wanted Chick-fil-A, so I would keep the suit on.
Yeah.
Because to get in and out of that thing
is
a pain in the ass. And it's not a pain in the ass because you're putting the suit on. It's they have to put all of the dots everywhere on you, right? So I would have them take like the six dots off my back, and I'd go get in my car, and I'd drive through Chick-fil-A. But I'd have all the markings on my face and be in a wetsuit with a bunch of, you know, glowing balls on it. And I would just, every day, they would give me my meal, and they wouldn't say a word. They wouldn't flinch. People at Chick-fil-A are the fucking nicest people in the world. And they would go, my pleasure. And I'd drive away, and I don't know what they'd said after me, but if I pulled up to a Taco Bell
or another... Oh, God, you get roasted.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
My God.
That's why I like Taco Bell.
It would be like, they'd put my food halfway out the window and pull it back in and be like, yo!
And like, you got some gross on you, dog.
Everybody get in here! Everybody get in here! Come look at this guy in the car!
I would like to believe that the good people that work at Taco Bell would treat you with as much kindness as the Chick-fil-A.
That was my...
Taco Bell is my guilty pleasure.
I lived in... Taco Bell never doesn't sound delicious to me. Awesome. Baja Blast soda is like... Yeah, so...
What I love is they elevated the game, too. When you get one that's like this big, you gotta fucking hold on to it like it's a child.
Yeah.
To suck it.
Like, yeah.
I mean, to suck the straw. Never mind. Let's move on.
It's the 128 ounce.
Where do you come down on Del Taco? Where are you at from
Del
Taco?
No. French fries do not belong on a menu...
We are water and oil right now.
No, we can't.
This is the chili cheese fries at Del Taco might be the best thing.
The fast food situation. No. If you go to Texas ever, the best Mexican food, fast food, is Taco Cabana.
Okay.
If you go down to Texas for any reason.
I go to Austin, Texas a lot. Is there a Taco Cabana there?
There's a plenty of tacos.
Because people always keep taking me to Torchy's Tacos.
Oh, Torchy's is amazing for breakfast tacos. But if you want like that Taco Bell... greasy food, but good at Taco Cabana, Taco C.
All right.
Yeah.
Before we wrap this up, because we got a few more sections of the show left, but I do want to talk about this right here. You have a walk this weekend for a very important cause. This is Huntington's Disease Society of America. You guys are doing a walk this Saturday.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about this.
My wife and my mother-in-law and some other members of her family have something called Huntington's disease. Mm-hmm. It's a genetic disease. It's been described as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and schizophrenia all kind of rolled into one, just like most degenerative diseases. It can be passed down by families. We have two children. We went through extensive genetic testing and IVF and all these things to have our kids and make sure they don't have it. But a lot of families can't do that. Mm-hmm. And in order to end this disease once and for all, we're trying to raise money to find a cure. Like I said, it's very personal to me. It's a smaller disease. There's about 30,000 Americans who have been diagnosed with it. But because it's genetic and it's a coin flip of whether or not you have it, if you are in a family that has Huntington's disease, it's really a 50-50 chance. So there's a lot of people in my wife's family that may have it. They're called at risk, and there's over 350,000 at-risk Americans who haven't been tested and who may choose not to. But we're walking this week. It's we're walking the Teen Hope Walk for Huntington's Disease Society of America, and we have a team page, Team Porter. I think it links.
Yes, if you guys go to kindoffunny.com/Team Porter, it will take you to this link if you want to go and check this out and support Scott and his efforts to end Huntington's. We'd appreciate that.
Yeah.
Of course, just going checking it out. Just take a look at it. It's great.
Yeah. Go take a look. Our story is on the page. If you live in Los Angeles and you want to come walk with us, join the team. All are welcome. We would love to have anybody come out and walk with us. It's through Griffith Park. It's going to be a really cool walk, early morning hours in Los Angeles.
Before it gets too swelteringly hot in LA.
It's a pretty walk. And if anybody has anything, everything, every dollar, everything helps. So if anybody has anything on the side that they could spare, we would appreciate it in a huge way.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very awesome. We'll talk probably a little bit more about that on GOG today. Of course, you guys, a reminder, 3 p.m. Well, he's on Games Daily, too, but I'm not on that show, so I don't care about that one. GOG today, 3 p.m. Is that right, Kevin?
Yeah.
Is that when we're doing it?
Yeah.
We're going to get in probably a little deeper into that with Scott, as well as some other shenanigans, and I'm sure Chick-fil-A will come up yet again. let's see. Panzer G2 has given us a tip and said, this is for young Rex Racer. What was it like to drive the Mach 5?
Oh man! So, filming the sequences of the Mach 5 was incredible. I sat in a gimbal, full green screen around me. The man that directed Second Unit for that movie, James McTeague, he actually directed Ninja Assassin.
I was gonna say that name sounds familiar. That movie was awesome.
He also directed V for Vendetta for them.
Awesome as well.
Yeah, Ninja Assassin is great because
that was a great movie.
It's exactly what the title tells you.
Yep.
It's a ninja assassin.
Yep. And he uses that. He was the guy like
he assassinates ninjas. Yeah. No. But, yes?
No, I'm not. Well, don't stop the show.
Sometimes I go over and Greg, like, politely says, hey, we got to move on.
When Greg walks in the room.
I don't care. I was coming to tell you, just a correction, GOG is at 2 p.m. today. We have an international flight to catch, so we have to get the hell out of here.
Nobody cares.
Yeah,
did we have that?
2 p.m.
It's been on the calendar. It was misscheduled on Patreon. Joey is correcting now.
Got it.
Love you.
But the cool thing about filming the Mach 5 sequences is they had video game designers come in and design the tracks, basically like levels. And then they would drive the track as expertly as possible, video game wise.
Oh, that's cool.
And then they would input that data into the gimbal, and the gimbal would make the moves turn. So all the drift, all the drafting and all the drifting and all like the jumps, all that really cool stuff.
That's really cool.
The actors could go and watch it raced virtually and then get into the gimbal so they knew what was coming. It was got a little confusing sometimes, where are the mirrors, where are the other drivers, mm-hmm. all that type of stuff, but man, that movie is so underrated, and I said it a long time ago.
It really is.
Kevin and Tim,
we love it.
Are diehard speed racers.
I don't.
It's devastating that they haven't put it out like on UHD, because I want to watch that at the highest quality possible.
I say a couple of things about Speed Racer, and you know, some people think it's hyperbole, but a lot of people have come around to see what I'm saying. If this movie comes out in a post-Avatar world, I think it's a gigantic hit. I think people weren't ready for Speed Racer.
I would
I think
agree.
Avatar kind of was like, everyone wants to go see this thing that was done by the guy from Titanic, and whoa, actually, this is cartoony, but I really like it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's a lot of people who just weren't ready for it. I mean, it also came out the week after Iron Man, so it's like, you know,
it's
and the
tough.
Week before Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, which was, you know, whatever. But at the time,
still
was highly
sucked up a lot
anticipated.
Of
that,
yeah, the anticipation.
But the other thing I always say about it, I said it back then. I said, this is going to be like the 80s had Blade Runner, which everybody hated, critically, you know,
did not do well.
Divided, didn't do well at the box office. Not saying it's Blade Runner. I'm not saying it's like that in any way,
sure.
except for the fact that we were so divisive when we came out. Like, we got an A in Houston and an D in Dallas. New York, you know, they're two top reviewers in New York. One gave us, you know, a 5 out of 5, and the other gave us a 2. Mm-hmm. I've never been a part of a project that it was that wildly, you know, reviewed differently than, mm-hmm. you know. So it was, I said it for a long time, and just this year I got a call from a bunch of different people doing a 10-year anniversary, you know, article on it, or talking about how underappreciated it was. So it was one of the coolest experiences of my life.
We're gonna talk probably way more about that on the podcast today, but that's so awesome to hear.
Yeah.
CJ Rindell gave us 800 cheers, says, paying the birthday tax for my kids, Hannah and Lincoln, go Pat and go. Panzer G2 says, he already gave us that. Omega Batman says, Nick, do you feel any sort of insecurity having people in the show who are more talented, better looking, better hair, taller, funnier, and better make-believe champion than you? P.S. You're an old fogey, says Mega Batman. To answer that first question, I don't feel any insecurity about that. Let's see. Stargazer said, Scott should get Greg back into HeroClix.
Wait a minute. Greg played HeroClix?
Tell him about WWE. Also, love the unboxing videos. I don't know what HeroClix is.
HeroClix is an amazing game. It's like chess with superheroes. You
okay.
play it on a 2-foot by 2-foot map. A bunch of little inch-by-inch squares, and say you have Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Instead of moving in the shape of an L like a knight on the chessboard,
sure.
He can leap over other characters on the board. And there's DC, there's independent characters, there's an Invincible set.
That's cool.
Might get Greg, you know,
yeah,
to come
he would
back.
Do that, for
there's
sure.
an Invincible set. You can play Alan the Alien versus Spider-Man versus Robin versus Black Manta. You know, you can do it all. And they have, like, crazy other sets, too. Gears of War, Halo Clix, all these other things.
That sounds fun.
But it's like chess with superheroes. That's the best way that I can explain it. And I have played it since the first set came out, and I swear by that game. That game is incredible.
All right. Kevin, what is this you're bringing up here?
So this is a tip that was sent. I think this is it. It was sent like 1 a.m. 2 days ago.
1 a.m. says, just want to say thanks to the champ for my wife's pushing advice the other day. Our new daughter only required 4 minutes of push that little thing right out, which I guess is what I told him to do. I'm nothing if not genius. You deserve an honorary doctorate for that. Thanks. P.S. 6 pounds, 2 ounces, and healthy sledge hog. Yay. You want to go the extra mile? Name it Nick. Just saying. I made the birth easy. I'll make life easy. Name it Nick. Last tip today comes from Oversplice, gave us very nice cheers, 1,500 cheers, said, hey Nick, I got to see a pre-screening of Predator yesterday in Toronto. I think you will like it. Good popcorn flick. I'm very excited for the new Predator movie.
I can't wait, man.
I love Shane Black. It looks so Shane Blackish. And that's where you're gonna go.
I hope it plays better. I hope Shane Black plays better with the Predator universe than they did with Iron Man. What?
Oh, how dare you, sir?
What?
I'm Iron sorry, Man what 3 was fine. It was a fine movie.
Did you watch Predators?
I've watched all the Predator movies.
Predators, though, like
the one where they're on the planet.
I really that was like a guilty pleasure of mine. I really enjoyed that
one. I will
one.
Never forgive myself, and here's why. This is the Adrian Brody movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was on. And my wife walks by the TV and goes, what is this movie? And I said, oh, this is Predators. She goes, I've never seen a Predator movie. I've never seen the Predator. And I royally,
She just sat with you and watched that
paused
first?
Paused the movie.
No.
And brought up the Schwarzenegger one. Because what happened was she watched it, she goes, it's a pretty cool movie. And I was like, oh, if you like this, you're going to love the original Predator, which is the exact same movie, but with shittier special effects because it's from the late 90s or late 80s, rather.
You made a mistake.
I fucked it up.
No, she won't watch another one.
She
now,
watched it. She was like, that was kind of fun, but
no,
I like the other one better.
Right?
Yeah.
No, she watched
Predators, and then I made her go back and watch Schwarzenegger's.
So I
screwed it up royally.
I listened to the sports radio guy Dan Le Batard.
And he loves Dan Le Batard.
All right, so he did an interview. He did an interview with the director
McTiernan.
Oh my gosh, you heard the interview. I love
Andy played it for me because he knows I'm a huge McTiernan fan and a huge Predator fan. I love the part where he's like, because it wasn't Dan doing the interview. It was like Mike, whatever the producer was. They were all asking McTiernan questions.
Yeah, but Mike, yeah.
And he goes, I think the question was, is Predator the best movie, like the best action movie ever made? And McTiernan goes, you know, I don't, there's some great movies out there. And the guy asked the question to McTiernan, goes, no, you're wrong. It is the best action movie ever. He told the director of the movie that he was wrong because he was trying to be humble about how awesome his movie was.
That's
why that podcast is way better than this one.
But they talk about McTiernan's run. I didn't realize it.
That's what it was.
It was Predator.
He said Predator.
And then Die Hard, and then Hunt for Red October.
That's what the question was.
back to back.
It wasn't the best action movie. He asked him, he was like, has any director ever had
a better run
than you did there? And he goes, oh yeah, there's plenty of directors. He goes, No, you're wrong. You had the best
they
one.
Asked
that's
him,
what it was.
Were there any seconds of the handshake that hit the cutting room floor? Because it's 27 seconds long, and was there any extra time of the handshake? They love that movie. Carl Weathers they have on all the time. They have the Mustache Hall of Fame.
Oh God!
They talk about Carl Weathers all the time. His story about
jacked in that movie.
You know, was there any other choice for Arnold? No. Was there any other choice for Carl Weathers' role? No, because Carl Weathers is a crazy good actor, and Arnold couldn't act his way out of a paper bag at the time.
Yeah.
And we knew how competitive Arnold was, and Arnold never left the set when Carl Weathers was working. Arnold stayed on set and watched Carl Weathers every second.
But you see it.
Yeah, you see
it. You actually see, like,
it's elevated.
If you look at the difference between his performance in, like, Commando versus Predator, or even the Running Man versus Predator, Schwarzenegger, never really known for his acting chops. I'm not going to sit here and beat up on the guy because he can still kick my ass. He's like 80 fucking years old, but he can still thrash me if he wants to. Not known for his performances. He's more of just fun. He's more of the Spectre movie. But in that movie, he's actually really good. And the cast around him is really good.
That movie is so fantastic.
I love the part where they talked about Sonny, the guy that played... And he was like, he was going to come over. I guess Stugatz was like, he was going to come over and he was going to stay at my house. And McTiernan cuts him off. He's like, that would have been a terrible
idea.
Bad idea.
Yeah. There's anybody out there, go find that particular interview if you're a fan of Predator. There's so much behind the scenes.
God, it's so good. Also, shout out to the Dan Le Batard show. That's a sports show where they interviewed John McTiernan for like an hour about Predator.
Yeah.
God bless him for that.
Boom. And every Tuesday they do a zoo segment. Half-hour long zoo segment where you can call the show and ask any question you want of a zoologist from the Miami Zoo.
Fantastic.
About animals. Okay. Any question. Crazy question.
That's so great.
And he answers them all. It's great. Anyway.
We're going to have fun with Andy later. He loves that show. All right, it's giveaway time. We're running a little long, so I'm going to save the PS I Love This Best Friend XO for tomorrow. We are going to go straight to the giveaway. Today we are brought to you by two illustrious sponsors. One, our first sponsor is Loot Crate. What is Loot Crate? Great question. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box delivered directly to your door with exclusive pop culture, collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Crate curates and designs everything themselves. You can't find these items anywhere else, no matter what you geek out about. This is for you. There are over 30 million crates sold. Their original and most popular Loot Crate is curated collection of items from the best pop culture franchises. This September, let me tell you, the gift that keeps on giving September. First we had Spider-Man, now we have this. This September crate has four incredible franchises, including Marvel's Venom, Alien, Predator, and X-Files. That's where we're at right now. And you're guaranteed a t-shirt in every crate. What, this is like a birthday present to yourself every month. Give it to yourself right now. The crate will sell out, just FYI, so get it, get signed up for it now. You only have until Wednesday, September 19th, which is right around the corner at 6 p.m. to guarantee your order, or this crate will be gone forever. Get the best surprises each month from the largest geek and gaming subscription company. Get out in style with Loot Crate. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/KFMS and enter the code KFMS to save an exclusive 15% off your subscription. That's lootcrate.com/KFMS and enter the code KFMS to save an exclusive 15% off your subscription. Our second sponsor today is Hims, a wellness brand for men. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, 66% of men lose their hair by the age of 35. The thing is, when you start to notice the hair is going, it might be too late. It's easier to keep the hair that you have than replace the hair that you lost. I can attest to this. Started thinning a little bit in my mid-20s. Did something about it back then. Wish I had a service like this back then. Because back then it was like, I'm losing my hair. I have to be in the shadows. I can't talk to anyone about this. A huge insecurity. Right now, let's get it out there right now. This is the solution for you. ForHims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. These are well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Prescriptions that are backed by science. It's very, very easy. You go on, you fill out a questionnaire, a doctor looks at it, and they prescribe a treatment plan for you. It re-ups every month. You don't have to worry about it. Discreet packages to your door. And I will say, I like the packaging as well. Also, if you have a friend named Andy and he gets the vitamins, you can steal his vitamins. But get your own, for Christ's sake. Go to forhims.com right now. Listeners, get a trial month of Hims for just $5 right now while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/morningshow. That's FORHIMS.com/morningshow. forhims.com/morningshow. Take advantage of that trial offer. Okay, we have two winners today of the giveaway. Andrew Skrylock from Kind of Funny Patreon has won 1979 Revolution Black Friday on PS4. Congratulations. And from the Twitch chat, Fulahan, that's a name, has won Pixel Ripped 1989 on PSVR. Congrats. All right. Now is the time of the show. We talk to the chat. We'll go in. We'll talk. We call it the three and three. We'll take three questions, comments, or concerns from the chat, and then we'll talk to the subscribers, and then I'll give you a little break because you got another show to do after this.
Awesome.
That's
awesome.
How it works.
I just want to say, Scott Porter did not say Matrix Reloaded is the most amazing movie ever. It's been repeated in chat a few times.
Well, who said that?
I don't know. I think it's because I said Iron Man 3 isn't one of my favorite movies. I think now.
So now they're just going, they're putting you on record blasting the Matrix Reloaded?
Yeah.
We had Justin Richmond on yesterday, who was the director of Uncharted 3, and then also is doing the Dragon Prince, which is coming out as a Netflix show. We had a very interesting discussion about The Matrix Reloaded, where I guess I didn't watch these movies that closely, but apparently it's explicitly said even when they're in the human world, they're still in the Matrix.
No, it's not explicitly said. It's a theory, Nick. It's a theory. We explained that to you. We said it's a theory that, like...
No, because people in the YouTube comments were like, no, it's pretty explicitly said during that really overly wordy rant by the white-haired dude in the white sterile room where he talks for 45 minutes, and a young Nick Scarpino was like, I just want to eat my popcorn, bro. That's all I'm trying to do.
I think that most people don't know that theory. If you ask...
Are you aware of this theory?
I am aware of it. I'm not sure if I ascribe to it. But I think part of the problem is, just like everyone else out there, it was 2:30 in the morning at the time that I was watching.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody went to a midnight showing, right?
Yeah.
And that's, I think, why all of our brains are so foggy. I mean, because you really need to just sit down and dissect.
It's
dissect
cerebral.
And dissect.
He uses the word vis-a-vis.
I worked with the Wachowskis on Speed Racer, and I know how their brains work. And
yeah.
Yeah, there's layers to be pulled out there, but they will not tell you. It's a theory, I think, at best.
What is the point of having Scott Porter on the show if he won't give you the inside information, Greg Miller? We talked about this. Gitbucket says, I love the daily Matrix Reloaded talk. It's one of those movie series that you love to, like, fans love to beat up on a little bit. Mm-hmm. Obviously, because the first Matrix was, like, one of the best movies ever made. How do you follow that up? That was obviously an uphill battle. Either way, and I honestly think that's part of the reason why Speed Racer got a little bit of hate as well. It was because it was such a departure from what they'd done before. Rightfully so, I imagine. They were like, we want to do something that's a little bit, like, totally wild and colorful and, like, more of a spectacle movie and less cerebral and more of just a fun family story.
Yeah, I've got other ideas as to why people, like, kind of were backing away from the Wachowskis at the time.
You think you blame it on Christina Ricci?
No, I think, you know, whatever. I think a lot of people who reviewers, they choose to be biased or unbiased.
Potentially.
You know, like, you know, I think there was a number of things that were going on. But the main thing with the Wachowskis is they don't do press tours like every other studio does with all of their people. They trot them out. The Wachowskis are like, no, we made enough money on Matrix. We're not going to do that. We're just going to put our movie out, and that's how we're going to do it.
Well,
we're
their time is worth.
Sit down with you and talk to you, and I think it pissed a lot of people off. Who knows? But yeah, I think they just quadrupled down on a very complicated story to begin with, and it's easy to get lost when you start trying to do that.
It's true. But I mean, I get lost in this show. And this show is the easiest show on the planet to do. It literally has no rules.
Boom.
There are no rules in the show, and sometimes I freeze, and I go, oh, right, I'm the one that's supposed to be talking. I'm kind of the host of the show. All right, let's go into sub-only mode right now, and we'll take a few more questions, and then we'll wrap this bad boy up. I've had a lot of fun, by the way. This has been a fun episode.
It's been great, man.
Let's see. Avil Krynight says, Nick, Speed Racer was filmed with a digital camera, the Sony Sennelta F23. At the time, they can only record 1920 by 1080 video, i.e., for a 4K release, they would have to upscale it. Can you call me a nerd now? No, but I will say that to Kevin, because Kevin he knows this.
I'm aware.
But he still wants the 4K
version.
It's
devastating.
See, I believe it was the first film shot on that camera. They had a camera.
Probably on that camera. The Star Wars prequels were shot on the F900.
Sony had given the Wachowskis a camera that had never been utilized before to use in Speed Racer. And one of the craziest things about Speed Racer is they tried to make it a cartoon and the fact that everything's always in focus all at the same time.
It's trippy.
So we shot everything, every scene we shot like four
deep
times.
Focus.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with green screen. So, you know, John Goodman's here when I'm walking out of the house, we shot just his side of it, shot my side of it, and then everything's in focus all at once. But it's also hyper focused. So it was a crazy process.
It's an interesting style for sure.
But they were toying with something that nobody else had really toyed with before. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I ask you this question? You don't have to answer this question if you don't want to. But did you at any point approach John Goodman and quote The Big Lebowski to him?
I did not.
Missed opportunity.
No, I don't think it was, because I really got to know John, like his love for New Orleans, I know
he's
John
a badass.
Personally. He's
I'm totally kidding
right
now.
He's an
amazing
dude.
Please never walk up to him and quote The Big Lebowski.
Think about it though,
but if you tell him it's for me, you can do it.
My on-screen parents in that movie are John Goodman and Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, you lucked out on that one with parents. I just watched Bull Durham again the other day.
We almost got Bull Durham on Broadway.
That would have been amazing.
I was playing Crash Davis and workshops and a small run of Bull Durham the musical in New York a couple of years ago. And we almost had it and just kind of fell apart.
That would
a lot of things.
That's awesome.
Bull Durham on Broadway, it would be great.
That would be great.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Bull Durham, definitely give it a watch. It's a classic. God bless Kevin Costner, especially in sports movies. Or as Robin Hood. I'll give him that too. Let's see. Blue Pancake said, Nick, I'll pay you a handsome tip. If you review each Stephen King book as you read them, I just took the Dark Tower journey last year and it was great. I'm on that journey right now, my friend. I probably won't review them because historically for us, book reviews don't do so well on our gaming podcasts and our nerd podcasts. But of course, if you guys watch The Morning Show, I'll keep you up to date. Right now, I'm really enjoying Salem's Lot. I'm only like two chapters in, so we'll see. And it's a long book, and I'll probably get really sleepy. But I did the Audible thing. Are you doing this at all?
Oh, no, I haven't done Audible yet.
If you buy the book on Amazon, Amazon owns Audible, you pay $2 more, it gives you the Audible, like the narration.
So who reads Salem's Lot?
I have no idea. I haven't started listening to it yet. Mm-hmm. But traditionally, like the Audible, like the narrator is usually an actor or someone who's actually talented. That's so it. You can switch back and forth, and it's pretty cool. Because when I cook, I like to listen to books. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's like kind of dangerous if you're cooking something and trying to. So anyway. It's an awesome, and then when you drive, because you drive a lot, I assume, in LA.
Yeah, I do.
It's cool to be able to sit down, and I'm sure with your copious free time that you spend reading and not paying attention to your kids, it's cool to sit down and read, and then when you get in the car, you switch it back over. Audible's not a sponsor of the show, by the way. Not yet. They have been, though.
But you should do the mini reviews, because, I mean, you only have to do one, like, every 3 months.
Yeah. Well, it takes me about 6 months to read a book.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah, that wouldn't be. All right, fine. Yeah. I'll commit to it. You'll get a review when I'm done with this. I'll have Jared Petty on. He's the one that recommended that I read all the books. He did this thing where, I don't know if you're familiar with the Dark Tower series. Obviously, the movie came out. Mm-hmm. I watched the movie. I was like, I like this. And it reminds me of a lot of 80s movies where it's like really fucked up and dark and sinister.
Yeah.
But kind of skewed toward kids. And I'm like, oh, I want to read the Dark Tower trilogy. Of course, there's seven of them. And then, of course, I ask our friend Jared, who is one of our coworkers who we work with and collaborate with, and he's very well read. And he goes, well, you can't just read the seven books. You got to read four more Stephen King books because they build into it. So yeah, you have to start with Salem's Lot, The Stand, It, and I think there's one other one out there. And I'm like, so I have to you read 11 books.
Good luck with The Stand.
Yeah, long.
740?
Well, I read Harry Potter, so it's not a big deal.
It's almost 1,000, actually. Is it over 1,000?
Sir, 1, I have read...
It is 1,200 pages.
1,200 pages.
I have read The Count of Monte Cristo. I have read Dune. Those are two really long books.
Never read Dune.
Dune's phenomenal.
Not going to take that on.
But so I'm just letting you know right now, I can sit down. I'm well read. I can sit down and hunker down for a 1,000-page book.
Yeah, my days of reading books...
One out of every 10 years, I do that.
My days of reading books are well behind me.
Well, right, comic books count.
Yeah, graphic novels. I can get to those.
Okay.
I've got Paper Girls in my backpack, so I'm working on that.
I have not read that yet. It's supposed to be good. Mr. Yasmin300 asks another important question to settle another debate that we have here. What are your thoughts on the seminal Mark Wahlberg, Will Ferrell film, Daddy's Home? Where do you land on this? I'm not going to put you...
I'm not going to be able to help you because I would not watch it.
Okay. Well... That's a very politically correct answer from an actor in Hollywood right now.
I didn't watch it.
But if I'm reading between the lines, he says it's fantastic. That's what I'm gathering from you.
You a big fan of Daddy's Home?
I love that movie so much.
I'll tell you what. I'll do this. I'll go home. I'll watch it.
It's goofy.
I'll shoot like a 15-second response.
Please
and I'll send it to you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Now, of course, there's two of them, so you have to watch both.
I haven't seen the second one yet,
but it's got Mel Gibson. We all forgave Mel Gibson, so they put him in this movie, and then John Lithgow's in it as well.
What's your favorite Mel Gibson movie?
What's my favorite Mel Gibson movie? Mm-hmm. Lethal Weapon.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it's Braveheart for me, but Payback is very close.
Ooh, Payback, good movie. Really good movie. Love that.
Well, his character's name was Porter. So I think that... Yeah.
I also love that he is like a man without history in that movie. He's just like this Wraith character. Lethal Weapon all the way. My brother and I text all the time. He was just watching Lethal Weapon last night. He texted me the scene at the end where for no fucking reason, all of the cops just let Riggs fight Gary Busey in the wet grass.
Yeah.
Little known fact about that, 80s, though.
80s movies.
Had really good jujitsu in it because they hired one of the Gracie brothers to come in and do some of the choreography for that and consult.
I think he triangle chokes him
At the end. That's where he, puts his legs around his neck and has one arm in and pulls his head down.
Yeah.
That's actually good technique. And he like pulls him over.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That's
one of the first uses of Brazilian jiu-jitsu in movies that I can
remember.
I need
to go back and watch Lethal Weapon again.
I mean, if you're on that run.
Did you watch the TV show?
No, I did not watch the TV show.
They recast the guy playing Riggs, but I don't think it's even
the character Sean William Riggs Scott, anymore. Right?
And now it's Sean William Scott.
I love Sean.
Now it's Stifler. God bless
him.
Now I'm just like, I want to watch Stifler and Damon
Wayans. Sean William Scott had a great, and Damon Wayans. They all had the moment, right, where they all were huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sad that Sean William Scott's not still on that level.
Well, because a lot of his movies are really fun, but didn't do so well. No. Bulletproof Monk was that
fun.
One of his?
Yeah.
Was the Rundown
was
Sean William Scott?
Yes, that was one of his.
The Rundown's
the
really
Rock.
Good.
It's a good movie.
Pete Berg, The Rock, Sean William Scott.
God bless him. All right, it is 12:20, ladies and gentlemen. We got to wrap this up. I apologize for keeping you so long. You got another podcast after this. Of course, 2 p.m. today. GOG, we're going to get in deep again. Scott, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, man.
For having on the show. If you guys are watching this on YouTube, let us know what your favorite Mel Gibson movie is. Let us know what your favorite anything is. Let us know what your favorite Scott Porter film is or video game is. And of course, if you want to leave comments or questions or whatever, we will answer those. I will answer those. You'll be gone. You'll be back to LA in real life. Everyone, I love you very much. Kevin, please cut the feed.